The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Too many people settle for average because they feel that it's too difficult to go beyond average to exceptional. The tools are all there, but people don't realize the small amount of extra effort that is needed to reap big rewards. Welcome to Step Up and Play Big with Chris Ruisi. Chris and his guest experts are here to show you where the possibilities lie and what they can do to help you. Now, here is your host, Chris Ruisi.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. This is Chris Ruisi, and welcome to another episode of Step Up and Play Big with me, Chris Ruisi. Got a great show here today, and I've got a great guest. His name is Sean Casemore, and Sean is from up north, Canada, and he's the CEO and founder of Casemore & Company. And Sean and I will be discussing today his journey from corporate staff to an entrepreneurial leader. We're going to review in detail the five aspects of Sean's journey, which include identifying and pursuing his vision, why a plan is only as good as the action you take, finding self-gratification through challenge, and the next one is how facing fear will expand your mind to new opportunities, and a shifting to an entrepreneurial mindset and the leadership skills that were involved in doing that. In addition, we're going to discuss with Sean some of the strategies and tactics he uses to help his clients build the value of their businesses. He's a real pro, and his examples and experiences will be of tremendous value to all of you who are on the entrepreneurial journey. And I'm going to try to talk better for the rest of the show. I'm going to ask Sean to also spend some time with and discussing with us his new ebook, Build a Business Your Customers Value. Sean has a website. It's Casemore. Let me get it. I got it right here. SeanCasemore.com. You want to sign up for his newsletter. So write that down, but we'll be mentioning it a couple of times. And before we get started, let me tell you just a little bit more about Sean. For over two decades, Sean has been helping organizations and associations improve their leadership and operational effectiveness. His experience includes working with organizations such as Pepsi, CN Rail, and Spectra Energy, as well as associations like the Chartered Professional Accountants, the Canadian Produce Marketing Association, the Association of Manufacturing Excellence, and the Institute of Supply Management, just to name a few. As a recognized speaker and writer, Sean's articles have been published in both print and online and in several industry publications, including The Globe and Mail, CFO Magazine, and Target Online. His speaking engagements includes dozens of keynotes and concurrent sessions annually for associations and organizations internationally. So I want to welcome Sean. And Sean, thanks for being with us on the show today. How are you?
Fantastic, Chris. Thanks so much for having me on. And I'm glad that you're able to get the speaking down.
Yeah, well, I don't guarantee anything, Sean. I'll mess it up a little bit, but that's why you're the guest, and I'm going to get you to do most of the talking.
Not a problem at all. I had the same problem earlier today. I was online with a client, and somehow my words got in front of my brain, and it tends to happen for me quite a bit, actually. So yeah, glad to be on, not alone.
You're exactly right. There are times where I just can't get my lips, teeth, and tongue to get noun, verb, and object in the right order. So I understand. So, Sean, how long have you had the Casemore & Company around? 20 years, right?
Yeah. It's been... 2008, formally, it was launched, but I actually didn't cut the cord in my corporate career until the very beginning of 2010. So full-time, 4 years, kind of part-time, an additional couple of years beyond that.
Okay. You raise an interesting point. What made you cut the cord?
I think for me, if I look back at my career history, I started to notice a trend. Every 2 to 3 years, I would either move into a new role, usually trying to get a promotion of some kind. But if that didn't seem to be available, or if I didn't see myself going anywhere in that company, I'd move on to another company. And after about somewhere around 16, 17 years, I think I'd had something like 8 roles in 6 different industries across, 7 companies or something like that. And I just kind of got bored with, because every time you move to a new organization, even in a new industry, you find the challenges are the same. The issues are the same. And I'm sure we'll touch on a few of those. But I reached a point, I thought, there's got to be something else that I'm missing. I never really felt that fulfilled. I often found myself, just wishing that, decisions that were being made that I could influence them, because I was never the CEO of any of those companies, although I did have a plant manager title at least once in my career. But I just, those decisions were always influenced by others. So I reached a point I realized the only way I could ever really make decisions solely on my own was to be on my own. But, mm-hmm. From a different aspect of that, I was trying to figure out what I could do on my own, and it hit me. I met with a business owner, and we were talking, kind of matter-of-factly about my desire to move out on my own. And he said, Sean, I'd hire you myself. And I said, well, okay, why would you do that? And he said, well, I could always use somebody to help me make improvements in the business, whether it be through my people and leadership or in process. He said, you've got a lot of good knowledge. And so that kind of stuck with me for a while, and I thought, yeah, why would I throw out all of the knowledge that I have? I should move into consulting. So that's kind of where the brainstorm came about, and it was probably the culmination of probably a year prior to, so probably 2007, that seed was planted in my mind. 2008, I kind of, as I said, launched informally and started doing some things part-time until I launched again in 2010 full-time.
Now, let me ask you a question as a backdrop here. Tell us what your background had been in the corporate world.
Sure. That would probably make sense. I was actually just a caretaker. No, I spent most of my career, started in supply chain management, moving into materials manager type roles, supply chain manager roles, and then moved more into operations manager, as I said, a short stint as a plant manager, or assistant plant manager, I should say. And so that was really, my career bounced around, but it was really in those two functional areas. But on the operational side, there's a lot of connectivity between supply chain and operations, but the operational sure. side, at least in one company, had a lot of exposure to business development. And then that was really built upon in high school and early college. I actually sold cars for a period of time. So when I look back, I thought, well, I've got all this operational experience, but kind of the forefront or the foreground of my experience started actually in probably one of the more difficult sales environments. If you don't sell, you don't eat. So I wasn't sure initially what to do with all that, but it's worked out well nonetheless.
Okay, so you made the decision, you cut the cord. Let's talk about the transition from being an employee to being a consultant, or in other words, getting a brand new boss, and probably a worse boss than you've had before because it was yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. I found sometimes I am my worst enemy, and I think if you start out in your own venture, it's something you really have to be cautious about. The end of the day, and as you know, I'm sure as well, whether my family eats or not really rests on my shoulders. Mm-hmm. That's a little bit of stress, and all entrepreneurs really face that. But on the flip side, the balance is you get to make a lot of decisions. But the change really for me was, it really continues to evolve. You go from, I always kind of put my best foot forward. I worked hard. I was that guy that, I didn't spend a lot of time at lunch or breaks. I enjoyed working. I enjoyed what I did, and I wanted to see results. And moving on to or into consulting, some of the biggest changes for me were around, number one, having to market yourself. I mean, you're really going out there and now trying to convince the world of your skills, your abilities, and how you might be able to help them. And the second part of it is time management, trying to be as effective as you can with, as many people. I mean, I always want to put my best foot forward, so I don't want to take on too many clients at a time, and I want to show Yep. them the attention they deserve. And I think the third is that life work-life balance, which the line really becomes blurred, because when you're an entrepreneur or in that kind of a role, you know, they are really all at one. I mean, I might be out on a vacation with family, but my wife knows I'm going to take phone calls, or I'm going to spend an hour putting together something for a client or calling a client. So, you know, I think that line becomes a little bit blurry, and you really have to be cautious about how you manage both sides of the coin.
Okay, now you mentioned three important things for entrepreneurs, people who are on their own, or for that matter, any business owner, whether they're a startup, a matured company, whatever the case may be. And the first one is that you talked about was in terms of your transition, was the importance of knowing how to market yourself. What would be the top one or two pieces of advice you would give to an entrepreneur today on the best way to market themselves?
Well, I think, you know, if you look at marketing, there's several schools of thought. I guess I'll start with saying one idea not to pursue. There's lots out there that will tell you that, you know, social media is the only way to market. And that's absolutely not true. Social media is an element of, or one element of marketing that you definitely want to be involved in, but it's not the only way. So, you know, relative to marketing, I think what I've found has been most successful in kind of my mindset is you really have to make people aware of who you are and what you do and the value you provide. I mean, that responsibility exists and lies in and of yourself. So that means you have to be willing to get out there and shout from the rooftop, so to speak, about the value you provide, and sometimes even doing that through your clients, having them provide referrals. So I think that's kind of rule number one. You have to be comfortable talking about yourself and spreading the word, so to speak. And the second aspect of marketing, I think that was, you know, kind of a transition for me, was the time management piece of marketing. You know, marketing is not something you do when you have time. It's not something you do when things are slow. It's something you do all of the time. You can never stop. And I find it interesting, even in my consulting today, I sometimes meet with business owners, you know, owners of smaller businesses, maybe, you know, even under $5 million annually. And what they, you know, they tell me, well, I've got, you know, I don't really focus on sales unless I have to. I had a gentleman the other week say, well, you know, I focus on reaching out to clients when things are slow, but I don't really like doing that. So I don't do it when things are busy. And I said, okay, well, what are your objectives for your business? And he said, well, I want to grow the business to double revenue digits in the next 3 years. I said, well, how are you going to do that if you're not reaching out to your customers on a continuum? It's not going to happen. So those are, I think, the two areas that I really found most important, and I continue to practice and consider today.
Okay, now, you mentioned also about work-life balance. I don't know if there is a balance, because, as you said, it's difficult to separate. But do you find yourself, someone once told me, you know, you're 100% at work, and when you're at home, you're 100% at home. Now, that may be a little bit pie in the sky, but how do you manage yourself to make sure you're giving your best effort to whatever you're involved in, work or home and personal stuff?
Well, you know, I think it goes back to what we talked about earlier, Chris. That, you know, the idea that you don't want to be your own worst boss. So, you know, one of the things I've enjoyed doing in the summer is, you know, Friday afternoons, a lot of times I'll go do something, or as a family, we'll go do something. We'll go hit the beach Friday afternoon. You know, I'll take off at 1 or 2 or 3 and check out. And there's sometimes during the week, my wife says, you know, we've got to take our kid to one of our children to a doctor's appointment, or there's a soccer game going on or something. And as long as I can fit it my schedule, I will, because family's important. But I do that because there are other times where I have clients overseas, for example, where in the evening is the only time we can really speak. And
right.
So to me, it's really looking not at time as here is my work time and here is my personal time. It's looking that here's time. How do I want to best invest this to achieve my goals? And obviously, family is a top goal, but you need to grow your business to support your family. So it's really looking at time as one mass, if you will, and designating it and balancing that time between your priorities.
No, you're right. I mean, I call that you management. It's not, you know, it's what you do with the time available to you.
Yeah.
Well, we're at the end of our first segment here, so this went pretty good. So everybody stay there. We're going to be back in 90 seconds.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
Make sure to order your copy today of Step Up and Play Big, where Chris Ruisi coaches you on how to create a future vision, make better decisions, develop effective business habits, and find out what it means to be a leader by identifying and solving problems to drive you and your organization to top performance levels. This book is a must-read for all business leaders. Find out how to get your own copy of the book on Amazon.com or by visiting ChrisRuisi.com and clicking the book.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
Many leaders and companies work with Chris Ruisi. As a business mentor, Chris helps to guide these leaders and companies to bigger results and puts them on the road to success. If you are looking to step into a bigger role in your organization, email Chris today to learn how you can be exceptional with less effort than you think. You can send an email to chris@chrisruisi.com, or you can visit the website to find out where Chris will be appearing next, coaching, and his books. Visit ChrisRuisi.com to step up and play big.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Step Up and Play Big with Chris Ruisi. To reach the program today, please call in to 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. If you'd like to send us an email, please send it to chris@chrisruisi.com. Now, back to Step Up and Play Big.
Okay, this is Chris Ruisi, and welcome back to the second segment of Step Up and Play Big with me, Chris Ruisi, and of course my special guest today, Sean Casemore of Casemore & Company. And if you want to know more about what Sean does, you can go to seancasemore.com, sign up for his newsletter, and of course get a copy of his new ebook, Build a Business Your Customers Value. And you can learn more about me, because after all, it is my show, at chrisruisi.com. I think I learned once that shameless promotion is okay. And my book, Step Up and Play Big, How to Unlock Your Potential to Be Exceptional in 8 Simple Steps. You can get that on Amazon. So, Sean, we had a great first segment talking about that transition from corporate world to entrepreneur. And let me ask you, how important was it for you to have a vision of where you wanted to be the day you made the leap?
Well, you know, it's interesting, Chris. I think back to when I went away to school. So I went to college, and the program I took was a 3-year operational supply chain management type program, and hence that was the career I took. But what happened was I applied for a college program, just a general business type program, a couple years. And a friend of mine came up to me one day and said, "Did you get into this college?" And I said, "Yeah, I got in for general business." And he said, "Well, I got in for management studies." And I thought, "Oh, that sounds pretty good." So I checked it out in the book, and that was a 3-year program, not a 2-year, so a little more complex, sounded much more robust than my program. So right above that was the materials and operations management program that I was going to take, and it was also 3 years, so it was very similar to his. So I ended up taking that that course, applying, I got enrolled, and I built a career based on really a selection in a catalog that I did because I wanted to compete with somebody. I mean, that's a fundamental. That's the way it worked out. What I did here, I mean, kind of having that in the back of my mind, that's worked out well for me, fortunately, but a lot of people go to school and don't get to work, you know, in the area that they took up through school. So I kind of approached this a little more strategically, and I realized, and the reason it took me probably from 2007 till 2010 to launch the business full-time is I really wanted to be clear on what my vision was. And it really came down to this. I wanted to take the experience that I had through all the companies and executives that I'd worked with. I did not want to throw that away. I felt there's got to be a way I can use this to help others and help other companies. I wanted to support my family, and I wanted to build a legacy that down the road people will look back and say, "Oh, Sean Casemore helped me." And that was really it at the fundamental. But from those ideas, I was able to build and continue today to build streams, if you will. So, to give you an idea of what a stream might look like, if you think about, I don't want to lose my experience. I don't want to throw that away. Well, the areas I work in today are still, I do a little bit of work in supply chain management, a little bit of work in operational specific to process improvement, and also in business strategy, and then leadership development and coaching, because most of my career I was a leader. So, I continue to try and keep in mind that how do I build in that experience so I don't lose it? And all of these vision points I build streams from, and that, in essence, really results in the actions that I take daily in order to pursue the vision. So I think you have to be crystal clear on what your vision is, or call it your goals, if you will, if you really want to invest your time wisely. And you have to know what your end state is. I mean, otherwise, you're just out there flailing around. And I think that's a lot of people doing a job. I need money, so I got a job, but I don't like the job. But what's your goal? What's your objective? Where do you want to be in 5 years, 10 years? What do you want to do when you retire, if you do retire? So I think that vision is absolutely critical.
Yeah, a lot of folks get into it by just doing things.
Yeah.
And some of the things may be right, some of the things may be wrong, or some of the things maybe not be appropriate at that point in time. And the scary part is they don't know how to separate from those categories.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let me ask you a question then. You've been in business now for what, almost 5 years or a little more?
Yep.
Are you where you thought you would be at this point in time?
Yeah, I would say, it's funny you ask that, because I was just thinking about this. About a month ago, I was kind of reflecting. It was summer, and I think I was on a beach somewhere, and I was kind of reflecting on where am I at today and where do I want to go. I turned, I can tell you honestly, so back I don't know how many years ago, so about 4.5, 5 years ago, even 6, 7 years ago when I first got the idea, I would have been about 34 years of age. And I kind of decided around that time that if I was going to make this happen by the age of 40, I wanted to have my own business. I wanted to be well into the six figures. I wanted to have a stable family life as far as we had a home. I wasn't, in any financial difficulties or constraints. That was really the big, broad, what do they call that? The BHAG, the big,
yep,
hairy, audacious goal that I had. And, it struck me this summer. I thought, well, okay, I turned 40 last December. I'm exactly where I wanted to be. What's next? I mean, I set annual goals, but what's next? So I decided, and I won't maybe share it here, but I set some pretty kind of a couple BHAGs for age 45, which is about 4 years from now. And some of that's around, revenue for my business, but some of it's around investment of my personal time.
Yep.
So I kind of set some of that. So, to me, it's really coming back to I am where I expected to be, but what that does for me is I think you have to continue to stretch yourself and set kind of these big goals that seem really a little unrealistic, but if somebody else is doing it, you can do it too, and that's what drives me day in, day out.
Yeah, I think we talked about this, but one of the reasons why, for those of you out there, Sean first reached out to me. We know at least one common person together about possibly appearing on the show, and after I'd gotten to know Sean a little bit, he clearly fit the criteria of someone who, wait for it, stepped up and plays big, which, as I mentioned before, is my book. But a person who steps up and plays big in my world is an individual who is willing to challenge the status quo and knows that there's more out there. They have to work for it, but they're willing to produce, put that effort in, which at times is not really much more than what you might think, but that they challenge the status quo, and they're always looking to raise the bar. And every time they reach, well, Sean now reached his 40-year-old goals, he's now positioned himself and earned the right to establish, greater goals for when he hits 45. Is that not a fair assessment, Sean?
Yeah, absolutely. That's absolutely it.
Okay. So, if it's not too much of a secret, what have you found to be the most significant factor that has contributed to your success to date?
I guess I'll kind of tie that back to exactly what you just said. I think if I look at, I can answer that tactically, but from a higher level, the realization that there are people out there doing things, there are people that are highly successful, and I don't want to say names because you know, everybody really has somebody else they follow. I'll say a common name and think of it as you will. But, you know, Tony Robbins was somebody that probably back in 2005 or 6, I read a couple of his books. I even walked on hot coals, for heaven's sake.
Oh, geez.
Unfortunately, my feet are not tarnished. But, you know, what I realized after, I didn't pay as much attention after. You know, at the time, you're excited, you leave, and you kind of come down a little bit off that. But when I reflected on that, I thought, well, who is Tony? You know, I've heard his story, I've read his story, but Tony's a guy, and he could as well be a girl, and he's achieved something. He's achieved certain levels of success, and clearly without, you know, he's taken a long journey. It's taken a lot out of him to get there. He's worked extremely hard to get to where he is. But what made him take action on doing things that others don't? In fact, and here's the question that really, and it sits with me today. You know, if he achieved that, why can't I? There is nothing different between Tony Robbins and myself. He's taller.
Sure.
You might argue he's better looking. And he lives in a warmer climate. But other than
And he has a lot of black shirts.
He has a ton of black shirts. and he knows former presidents. But beyond that, there's not much different. And so I have that mindset. And I'll tell you, as you achieve goals, as you move forward, as you achieve what you want to achieve, you start to realize that, you know, that success takes hard work, it takes diligence, it takes persistence. But if you have those three ingredients and you can self-motivate, you can achieve goals and you can strive to be and achieve the levels of success that others have. I mean, success to me is a repeatable formula, and there, I'm actually working right now on an ebook that'll be coming out shortly on train yourself for success. So, you know, but I'll let you know actually when that does come out. You may be interested in it, but it's really the idea that if others achieve something, so can I. So, how did they get there? What are the big basic steps, and how do I motivate myself along that journey?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that I describe in the book I wrote and the things that I do in my coaching is that people who step up and play big, people like yourself, and you can confirm whether or not this is correct after I say it, is there's a voice in your head that guides you, and that voice says a very simple sentence, and it's very simple. It's, yes, I can.
Yeah.
I mean,
absolutely.
Not being able to do something is never really an option unless it's really stupid or dangerous. But when it comes to business challenges, you know, people like you, myself, others, we're driven by that little voice that says, yes, I can.
I'll say I agree with you 100%, and I'll even change it or add a little bit to it in that, you know, anybody that is successful, that has their own business, that's self-motivated, you know, everybody reaches times when, you know, it's a challenging day, it's a challenging week, maybe it's a challenging year, for heaven's sakes. You know, you have to continue to motivate yourself. But sometimes that, yes, I can, sometimes initially it comes out and says, you know, gee, I don't know, this is pretty big. But you almost consciously have to set triggers for yourself that if you ever have self-talk that suggests you can't, you automatically correct that. So you know, I talk a lot in my speaking about setting triggers. And we all have weaknesses that we have to overcome, and I try to set triggers to overcome mine. And one of the ones is when I have a pessimistic thought, such as, you know, this is a big, you know, client that I'm going to meet with. I don't, you know, why would they want to meet with me? And then I hear myself thinking that, and I'll say it out loud, typically not around too many people, that,
yep.
You know, well, they're working with other clients, so they can work with me too. In fact, they want to work with me because, you know, they're going to work with me individually, right? Rather than somebody with my experience, rather than a large company maybe that has all these cohorts that have no idea about their business. So it's almost setting triggers so that if you do doubt yourself at all, you override that with a positive thought and do something that would almost embarrass yourself, like saying it out loud or something, even if people think you're crazy, because that trains your mind to think more positively and realize that you can step up and play big.
Yeah, I mean, you're 100% right. This is so critical for entrepreneurs because, you know, especially in the early days, you run into so many barriers and you run into so many obstacles where, you know, it's kind of expected to say, oh, my God, what have I done? But that positive self-talk, you know, that self-esteem, believing in yourself, even if you have to fake it till you can make it, is so critical to keep moving forward. And what entrepreneurs do, successful ones, that is they continue to work at moving forward. We have about a minute left before we have to take our next break for the next segment. So let's just talk quickly about and then we can pick it up in the next segment. You mentioned earlier about the challenges and issues that you deal with clients that run across various industries. Let's hold that thought. And I know I'm changing directions here on you, Sean, because we're getting real close to the end of this segment, and we'll come back to it. So everybody, you know what? Stay there till we come back. This is Chris Ruisi with my guest, Sean Casemore, and it's Casemore & Company. Look it up. Sign up for Sean's newsletter, and of course, my site, chrisruisi.com, and if you do visit it there, and you should, make sure you sign up for my Monday morning wake-up call. So stay there. We're going to be back in 90 seconds.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.
Many leaders and companies work with Chris Ruisi. As a business mentor, Chris helps to guide these leaders and companies to bigger results and puts them on the road to success. If you are looking to step into a bigger role in your organization, email Chris today to learn how you can be exceptional with less effort than you think. You can send an email to chris@chrisruisi.com, or you can visit the website to find out where Chris will be appearing next, coaching, and his books. Visit chrisruisi.com to step up and play big.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Make sure to order your copy today of Step Up and Play Big, where Chris Ruisi coaches you on how to create a future vision, make better decisions, develop effective business habits, and find out what it means to be a leader by identifying and solving problems to drive you and your organization to top performance levels. This book is a must-read for all business leaders. Find out how to get your own copy of the book on Amazon.com or by visiting chrisruisi.com and clicking the book.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Step Up and Play Big with Chris Ruisi. To reach the program today, please call in to 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. If you'd like to send us an email, please send it to chris@chrisruisi.com. Now, back to Step Up and Play Big.
Hey, everybody, this is Chris Ruisi, and welcome back to Step Up and Play Big. My guest today is Sean Casemore, and we've had a great conversation over the first two segments of the show about Sean's journey from corporate person to entrepreneurial leader and some of the challenges that he successfully dealt with, which I'm sure some of you have dealt with already, and maybe you want to rethink what you've done or are currently facing those challenges. Sean, you know, you're a consultant and a good one. And one of the things you mentioned in the first segment was how you took your background, your corporate background, and applied it to the challenges and issues that your clients face across various industries. So you may not be an expert in those industries, but you have a process that you follow that allows you to be effective and bring value to your clients?
Yeah, you know, what's interesting, Chris, about being a consultant, I mean, it's one of the, well, I shouldn't say this, but from my experience, it's one of the few entrepreneurial-type ventures or solopreneur-type ventures, if you will, depending on your model, that you can actually, I mean, grow as you move forward. So, you know, as I said earlier on, I had some experience in business strategy, but then when I got into my own consulting practice, I actually took some training like anybody else would on strategy formulation. I became certified in strategy formulation and implementation. You know, one area, for example, is Nahshon Kanri, which is like a lean concept. But nonetheless, you know, that's become a growing part of my practice. But what I found is, as things have gone on, I mean, you learn from each and every time you interact interact with others. You learn about their challenges. But everything really breaks down to some fundamental areas. And you mentioned before the break there, you know, what are some of those key areas or those transferable areas that exist between companies? And what I'll suggest before I tell you what these three are, you know, they actually are not only within organizations, both in public and private sectors, but they're also in associations. I actually do quite a bit of work with associations as well in these areas. But what I find fundamentally that are kind of the key components that I work in relative to all companies is number one, the strategy or direction that the organization is going, the people that support that, and you can look at that from leadership all the way down to employees, and the processes that are involved to facilitate the outcomes necessary, whether that be a service type organization or a product manufacturing or distribution type of an organization. So what I do is I if you think about the people aspect for a second, whether you're in a service company, you work for AT&T, or whether you're in a production, maybe you work for General Motors, you know, you still have employees. And those employees are no different when you move from organization to organization. Be it there may be a slightly different culture within each organization, people are still people. And to motivate people, to lead people, the fundamentals remain the same regardless of the industry. Regardless, even, again, if you think of an association, you can have a good leader or a poor leader. If you think about processes, you know, the steps to complete certain complex, you know, products may be different than others, but the processes by which communication flow through the organization, the processes by which people interact to produce that product or service at the outcome, those are all the same. And, you know, relative to process, focusing on how do we make this more efficient? How do we make this more effective? So to me, those fundamental three areas are where I focus my business on, and they transition through industry and across, again, public and private sector. And so that's why I found it, my business has really grown quickly because of that knowledge transfer that occurs and because of the parallels between. I can work in many different areas at one time.
Okay. Now, one of the things you mentioned as part of your journey was the whole idea of finding self-gratification through the challenges that you face and conquer, so to speak. How do you motivate yourself to keep going to accomplish that next challenge, Sean?
Well, yeah, I think we talked a little bit about it earlier, Chris, but and you can you know, you could kind of pipe in here if you'd like, but, you know, to me, self-motivation, it can be a little bit different for everybody. I mean, for myself, you know, I get motivated by seeing my clients happy. I mean, I get motivated when, you know, I'm able to bring on a new client because that means they have trust and confidence in me. I get satisfied or feel self-gratification when an existing client brings me back in for another project. But on a personal side, you know, what you have to do to build that almost like a barrier, if you will, that protects you from the negative or the challenges that may and will occur when you're trying to start and run your own venture. What you have to do is celebrate those successes. I mean, I'll be honest, I call a lot of people in a day, whether it be coaching clients or, you know, reaching out to associations or contacting past clients. And there are some days I don't want to pick up the phone. I mean, I was never really a morning person in my corporate career, and now I have to be. But, you know, what keeps me going is the fact that if I'm not reaching out, if I'm not doing those things, I tell myself, look, you may not have a business. I mean, as I said at the very start, if you think about the fundamental aspects of a business, from the marketing standpoint, you have to be willing to reach out and engage with other people. And so I'm convinced if I don't do that, I may not be here next year. And as far as I'm concerned, that's not going to happen. So you have to sometimes find motivators that are you know, something that can challenge the way you think. But, you know, in essence, it comes down to why did you come into business? It's to serve customers and to provide yourself, you know, a supportive life. And so you have to really be thankful for what you do have and celebrate those little wins and successes that you do have. So go out for dinner, grab a cup of coffee, take a break in the middle of the day and go for a walk, for example.
Yep. You know, you said some things there, and I have a tradition on the show that when someone says something that really aligns with my beliefs, I stand up here at the show and I give myself a high five. And while you were talking, I gave myself two high fives. And let me tell you what they were. First, as you were describing how you motivate yourself when you may not feel like making that phone call, I kept thinking of the definition that I like the best of self-discipline. Successful entrepreneurs, even business leaders, have a high degree of self-discipline, and that's doing what you're supposed to do when you're supposed to do it, even though you may not feel like doing it.
Yeah.
You know, and that was written by Thomas Huxley back in the 1800s. And at the time, I think he was a drinking buddy with Darwin. And that to me was a high five for me, because, and that's what people forget. That are in business, especially on their own, the importance of self-discipline to push yourself to do the things you have to do to make your dream a reality. It's just that simple.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
You may have said it, but I think it's worth repeating. What do you find most gratifying? Is it it's seeing your clients progress? Is it achieving your personal goals? What is it?
I think overall, Chris, it's the idea that you know, again, whatever it was, 7 years ago, there was no Case Smart Co. There was nothing. And today, I've got, I've probably worked with well over 30 clients at least. Most of, if not all of them, have been repeat. I shouldn't say all of them, but most of them have been repeat, some several times. Some I'm still working with. I'm bringing on new clients all the time, and I just realized that, wow, you know, kind of to build on what you just said, you know, there's been things along the way I've wanted to do and I've done, and things I haven't wanted to do, but regardless, I know what to do. I just need to do it. And by doing that and by practicing that religiously, and I'll tell you, the more time goes on, the more I actually enforce that self-discipline, because I realize the value it brings. You know, the self-gratification for me is I've built something from nothing. And now what drives me is, what can I build this into?
Right. It's okay every now and then to say, hey, look what I did.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, your clients want to deal with somebody who's confident. And if you're an entrepreneur out there, if you're not believing in yourself and not confident in yourself, don't be surprised if you can't attract business to you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's switch gears a little bit, Sean, and talk about your ebook, Build a Business Your Customers Value. What made you write the book?
Well, you know, it goes back to a couple ideas. It strikes me that in my interactions day to day, and maybe I'll give you a quick example of this. I probably about 3 weeks ago, I decided to change over my internet and telephone and TV. I hadn't done it for a few years. My internet, although I loved my previous provider, internet was too slow for what I wanted. So it changed everything over, and it was going to a larger organization, and I knew it would be painful. And it was. The gentleman came to install everything, left scraps of wire laying around, didn't hook up a few things because he didn't feel that he had the right wires and cables to do so, although I found some, and I'm sure in his van full of stock he did have something. He made a mess. He left things all over the place. When I called to get my internet working after, they said, well, he hasn't logged the papers, so we can't even speak to you. So I had to figure that out on my own. It was just a comedy of errors. You know, and for me, when I look back, I think most companies, especially those who are larger, but companies of all sizes, have really, they lose touch with their customers. You know, they lose touch with why the customers really interact with them and what the customers value. And if you think about today, our demands, our needs as individuals are changing, and that's influencing how we buy. You know, an example I could give you is, you know, I've got lots of clients that manufacture products, some manufacture furniture, and, you know, I've said to them, are you going to put a shopping cart on your website? And they said, well, why would I ever do that? And I said, well, where are the predominance of your customers buying today? Well, they buy from some of my partners through their website. And I said, well, why wouldn't you buy through the website? Well, I might someday. See, so customer preferences are changing so much. And if we can't really understand what it is our customers value, how are we ever going to deliver on that value consistently? A business is not built without customers and without sustaining customers. So it just struck me, and some of the work I do is in, you know, I kind of call it a customer value assessment, where I go in and actually deal with not only internal employees to the business, but I actually go and interview some of their customers and understand what's going well, what's not going well, and what would you like to see change, and where's your business heading in the next 3, 5, 10 years? You know, because all this information is intel that can help a company not only support their customer better today, but support them in the future. And I just don't think enough companies really connect anymore with what customers want. I think they're too focused on how much money they're making. And again, I'm not necessarily, I think smaller businesses are maybe a little bit, you know, different than that, but we can never, ever let go of or forget what it is our customers value. And we have to continue to ask them because what they value changes.
Well, we got about a minute left, Sean. So if someone were to get your new ebook or that ebook, what would be the biggest takeaway for them from it?
There's really a framework in there for anybody that does get the ebook that really steps them through how to get that value and what to do with it. Really, that's
okay.
The greatest value.
Yeah, I mean, we all know what bad service is.
Yeah.
And as you were talking about the cable thing, by switching your provider, I kept thinking what I once heard a comedian say, what's the words all of us fear most? It's when the cable person on the other end of the phone says to you, I can solve that problem. So with that, we'll break here and stay there. We'll be back in 90 seconds with my special guest, Sean Casemore.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
Make sure to order your copy today of Step Up and Play Big, where Chris Ruisi coaches you on how to create a future vision, make better decisions, develop effective business habits, and find out what it means to be a leader by identifying and solving problems to drive you and your organization to top performance levels. This book is a must-read for all business leaders. Find out how to get your own copy of the book on Amazon.com or by visiting ChrisRuisi.com and clicking the book.
Follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
Many leaders and companies work with Chris Ruisi. As a business mentor, Chris helps to guide these leaders and companies to bigger results and puts them on the road to success. If you are looking to step into a bigger role in your organization, email Chris today to learn how you can be exceptional with less effort than you think. You can send an email to Chris at ChrisRuisi.com or you can visit the website to find out where Chris will be appearing next, coaching, and his books. Visit ChrisRuisi.com to step up and play big.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Step Up and Play Big with Chris Ruisi. To reach the program today, please call in to 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. If you'd like to send us an email, please send it to Chris at ChrisRuisi.com. Now, back to Step Up and Play Big.
Hey, this is Chris Ruisi, and welcome back to our last segment of Step Up and Play Big with Chris Ruisi. If we were racehorses, we would be coming around that final turn and heading for the finish line. So, Sean, we've had some really good discussion about your journey as an entrepreneur, your ebook, Build a Business that your customer, or Build a Business Your Customers Value. And let's talk about getting back to your entrepreneurial journey. The whole idea of facing fear, you know, the biggest one, I guess, would have to be, you know, the fear of failure as an entrepreneur. What happens next if you do?
Yeah, and I think that, you know, the answer to that goes back to what we talked about earlier, which is really having a vision and being committed to it. But, you know, every individual faces challenges in their life, and what I've found interesting is as you face a challenge and you work through it, if you try to work through it, I mean, I think, unfortunately, some people have a victim type of mentality where they don't try hard enough to work through challenges. And I'm not saying that's everybody, but specific to business, I think that does occur. But, you know, we can look back at our life and realize we've overcome challenges. But for me, I thrive on that because once you overcome and achieve something, you realize, if I did that, what could I do now? You know, and to me, probably the scariest day was the day I walked into my boss's office where I had a great job, there's a pension, there's everything. And I said, well, you know, I'm here to resign. I've decided to move on and pursue other ventures. And I had a great relationship with the vice president. And he said, well, you know, I'm sorry to hear you're going. You know, where are you going to? And I said, well, probably in my basement for now. I'm going to start my own company. And he said, you know, he was very, very supportive. You know, but you go home and you got mixed feelings. I mean, feelings of this is fantastic, but also feelings of, oh, crap, like what now? So, you know, I think, but sitting here almost 5 years later, realizing that's nothing compared to the fact that I've stood in front of almost 400 people and done an hour and a half speech. I mean, I can tell you stories of, you know, very, very briefly, you know, going in to do a very small, what I thought was a small workshop for about 20 people. And they showed me to this room, which was huge. And I said to the gentleman, oh, okay, are we all going to sit up front? He said, no, the room's full. And I said, full of what? He said, well, people, there's 150 people registered. This room's full. I said, 150 people. And he said, yeah. I said, well, this is just, you know, it's an hour talk, so this is fine. He goes, no, it's 2 hours. I said, oh, okay, good. But, you know, you come through, actually tape that one. People had a blast. And, again, you come through those things and you realize, huh, I didn't do too bad. So to me, you have to face your fears in order to achieve success. There is no way around it. And the more you take on those fears head on, I mean, have a plan. You don't want to go in blindly. But if you have a plan, be agile, be ready to move and shift if things change. But continue. It's just like a train. You might have to slow down, but never, ever stop. You know, if you do that and you overcome, that's how you build that protective barrier, and it reduces the fear for other pursuits that we all have to take further in life.
Oh yeah, I mean, I firmly believe, and this is when I wrote in my book, that people who step up and play big, people who are exceptional, are people who, as I said before, question the status quo. But these are folks who want to be the master of their circumstances and not a victim of them, as you said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and there are far too many people, as I think you pointed out, who allow themselves to become victims. And they justify it by saying, "Well, I guess that just comes with the territory, or that's just the way it is."
Yeah.
And that's that whole mental perspective, that whole positive self-talk, that whole idea of self-esteem that you use that kicks in to motivate you.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Now, what's the biggest thing that you've enjoyed about being an entrepreneur? I mean, other than the freedom.
Yeah, again, well, I think there's probably a few aspects of it. I mean, you mentioned the freedom side of it is great. Seeing something from nothing, I mentioned earlier, has been very rewarding for me. But I think that the third thing that I really, really have enjoyed about being an entrepreneur is that I can take this wherever I would like. You know, when you think about being an entrepreneur, it's not the same as being a business owner. I mean, a business owner, you know, somebody, you know, maybe they start up a coffee shop, or they, you know, and they just run that coffee shop, and it's really a job. They go in every day. They don't really have too many employees. Maybe it's just the spouse or something. And they do that until they retire. You know, nowadays, an entrepreneur obviously is somebody a little bit different than that. It's somebody that will take that coffee shop and they'll open multiple coffee shops, and then they'll take that coffee shop and start to, you know, add different products around the coffee shop, and maybe they start to do an online, you know, where you can buy cards to go in and get products from them, buy coffee online. So they're really taking an idea and not just making it a job, but they're making it a venture where it has multiple different revenue streams. And I think that's important in today's environment, to focus more on entrepreneurship, because, you know, what if suddenly the economy tanked and people weren't buying coffee? Well, maybe you can take that online venture and sell it for cheaper and increase your revenue there. So, you know, as an entrepreneur, I enjoy the freedom, not personal freedom, but freedom that this is not a job with a, you know, hopefully I get that promotion someday. This is a future that I can create and form as I will. And what drives me to do so is, as we talked about earlier, going back to say, well, if there's an area I think that makes sense to go, and somebody else is doing it well and very successful at it, then so can I. Let me see how to get there. Let's put up, you know, some ideas and put a plan together.
You know, you raised an interesting point. Earlier this year, I had a guest on the show who ran an incubator, an entrepreneur ran an incubator in Charleston. I think it was called the Harborside Incubator. And they only accepted companies in their incubator who had a product that was scalable to go global.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, yep, in terms absolutely. Of, you know, to go there. Sean, you know, we got a couple more minutes left here to go. And tell me, for someone listening today, what would you think should be the one or two biggest takeaways for them?
I don't want this to sound cheesy, although it will probably come out that way, but if you have a dream, and I don't even want to say a dream, if you have a vision, if you've got some ideas around something you could form a business around, you know, invest some time in trying to validate that. Talk to others who are in that field or that area that are you believe are successful. You'll be surprised when you reach out to folks and ask questions that most people, most entrepreneurs are very open to speaking to complete strangers about, you know, how they've gotten to where they are. So reach out, get some ideas, and if it seems like a viable option and you really want to pursue it, but you're not sure what to do around your job and your necessary income, you know, put a plan together. I spent well over a year putting money into the bank. We sold a custom-built home and downsized. All these things. I had basically a year's worth of cash in the bank by the time I was ready to go. So you have to put a plan and be sensible. But on the flip side, I mean, don't let those visions slip away just because you feel like you're locked into something. I remember a gentleman telling me I had the golden handcuffs on at my last job because, you know, you get paid so much money, nobody ever leaves. And I think for me, if anything, that drove me to leave because I thought nobody's putting the golden handcuffs on me except me. If you have a vision, see it through, make a plan, be diligent, be courageous, and see it through.
Well, okay. We're getting ready, getting close to the finish line. So I want to thank Sean for being with us today and providing us with some really helpful, useful knowledge. Now, it's up to you folks out there to do something with the knowledge. You've got to put it into play. You've got to take a risk, and you've got to want to move forward. As usual, in less than 24 hours, the recorded version of this show will be available on my show page if you want to listen to it again, and I think you should, to build your action plan to move forward. As I mentioned, Sean's website is seancasemore.com. Mine is chrisruisi.com. As I said earlier, make sure you sign up for my Monday morning wake-up call and go get Sean's newsletter. Next week, October 8th, my guest will be Scott Eblen of the Eblen Group, and we'll be talking about leadership. So that's about it for today. I want to thank you all for listening and your ongoing support. Have a great rest of the week. And remember, our first responders and veterans and the men and women who are currently out there serving in our military. So go on out there and make something happen and step up and play big.
Thanks for tuning into the show. Step Up and Play Big, featuring Chris Ruisi, can be heard live every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 noon Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel. Be sure to join us again next week.